Hello everyone and welcome to The Entrepreneur's Journey. Today I'm here with Jen Tiller and we are going to be talking about her journey. The title of the show today is actually called One Breath at a Time, whereby we're going to go through her journey anyway, but she previously had severe asthma, that's right, and she transformed to, with her breathing techniques, to have a natural and healthy life without having to take a lot of the inhalers at the time. And now she runs the Healing Zone group in and around the...
Healer Zone.
Yeah. The Healer Zone group in and around London area, and it's expanding out rapidly. So we're going to find out more about her journey and what's led her to doing what she's doing today. So welcome, Jen. Tell us a bit more about yourself first before we jump into your story.
Oh, well, it's kind of hard to separate those two out, really. I am me, I am my journey. Well, I'm an Australian woman from Sydney growing up. Lived there until I was nearly 40, moved to England back in 2000. I'm a mum and a wife and an artist, and I spend a lot of time doing voluntary work with the big cats, but we'll talk about that later too, maybe. And
definitely.
I don't know, it's hard to say without going into the story.
But that's okay. Well, tell us a bit about the Healer Zone, first of all, like what you're doing literally at this time.
Okay. Well, Healer Zone is, I describe it Healer Zone, the Healer's Own community, so it's a bit of a play on words there. And it's about supporting people who give to others, whether that's medical, complementary, spiritual, anybody in the healing end of the spectrum. We have fitness trainers, we have psychiatrists, it's really broad. Mediums and psychics, it's across the board. And the idea is that it's a community. So we support each other, we cross-refer business, we're there with a shoulder at the, you know, we need it, because there's certainly a bit of a community apart, because you can't always share stuff about your work with the general public because there's privacy issues for clients and stuff, so that's a bit tricky. So we're running networking events. We've currently got over 50 people in 9 countries looking to start groups, so they're just rolling out gradually. And they're a mixture of business networking, personal development, swap and share events, training. It's whatever the local community wants. It's not something that I impose on people. It's just setting up a community in which there's a hub to join in with whatever's needed. And we've got a .com site and a Facebook group with nearly 4,000 members and a Twitter feed. And it just grows every day. I spend half my life on conversations with people about mentoring them on their journey. And I love it.
And I know we were using the hashtag the healer journey, the healer's journey today, because that's very much a part of what you're doing as well. So that's fantastic.
Yeah. When I launch a new group, that's what we talk about. So when you talked about the hero's journey, which, you know, I've been fortunate to study with Robert Diltz, it just completely resonated with me. Because,
you know, yeah. Cool. I love the work of Robert Diltz as well. He's absolutely phenomenal at some of the... Definitely been my mentor over the years through NLP and a lot of his strategies there. And then noticing that he was very passionate about the hero's journey, and he obviously still is as well.
Yeah.
So let's jump into your story now. So I think it'd be nice to go right back to the start, because I know you went through some challenges at the start. You had severe asthma. Tell us more about the situation you were in at there.
Okay. Just call me to a halt if I wander off too much. Over half a century ago, I won't say how much over, half a century ago, in Sydney, I had life-threatening asthma. Used to just swell up like a balloon with allergy reactions, sneezed, wheezed, coughed, you know, literally couldn't walk across the room without needing medication. Quite a lot of the time. It wasn't always like that, but it was a big problem. And I was allergic to huge numbers of things, and yeah, my life was just completely limited. There was so much I couldn't do. I missed a huge amount of school. So I spent a lot of time in my bedroom reading books, and I played the piano since I was four. And I have one of those backgrounds. I had a violent alcoholic father, an ill mother. It was one of those sorts of lives, and it was stressed to the max. But I didn't know any different, and as far as I was concerned, that was my life. And you know, you do what you do, don't you? You don't really sort of think, oh, it should be something different. It's fortunate, really. I think it's a good strategy for coping to have that. And then I got married at 17. I have a daughter who is now in her mid-30s.
Yeah.
And I developed postnatal depression, so to top it all off. And my first husband was a anaesthetist, so we moved from small country town around to other country towns every few years. So every few years I had to start again. But in the process, I finally came across a doctor who seemed to understand that the panic attacks I was experiencing, as well as the really savage asthma, had a related connection. He was talking about allergies. And eventually I ended up with a diet of 16 foods I was allowed to eat. It's very boring. And they wanted to shove me off on an island away from all modern living, so chemicals and pollutants and things. When you get diagnosed as allergic to the 20th century, I'm really glad it's the 21st century now. I'm quite grateful we're at this point, because obviously I'm not allergic to it anymore.
I can imagine sometimes I feel like I'm allergic to the 21st
century. Yeah, I don't want to even think about that as an option. But yeah, I had, you got to the point where when the doctors say, if you can smell something, anything, run. And you can't even run because you've got exercise-induced asthma as well.
Yeah.
You know, you just get completely paranoid about doing anything or going anywhere. So I basically became agoraphobic. Because I wasn't safe to go out the door. I wasn't just afraid to go out the door. I literally wasn't safe to go out the door, which is a bit unusual. Yeah. So panic attacks, asthma, migraines, eczema, it wasn't much of a life. It wasn't great for my daughter. But while I was stuck inside, I became a piano teacher, which was something I could do from home. And I discovered I love to teach. It was a very fortunate thing when I realized, oh, I love watching the lights go on. When people say, oh, I can do that. It's just
So what was it that triggered you to look at like a different way to heal your asthma?
I've been looking for something since I first was diagnosed with panic and so on. They wanted to medicate me into submission, basically, to stop it all. And I went, no, there's a reason why I'm like this. I want to know what the answer is. I want to know how to get there. And you've got to realize I was in my late teens in a small country town in Australia. This did not go down well. so I just kept looking. I read everything I could find. I talked to anybody who would listen to me. And eventually, I did. If there was something out there, hypnosis, a primal scream therapy, you know, which is sort of beating the walls while you yell at stuff. It's quite therapeutic, and it helped a bit, believe it or not. It actually did help. But my mother came across a television program about the Buteyko breathing method. I'll spell that because nobody knows what it should look like. Buteyko. Buteyko. Sounds like potato, but it isn't. Named after the Russian professor who developed it. And it was about a non-medical but medically based. So it's not medicine, but good science, good physiology, you know, proper mental. So I finally found a therapist within reach of me, because it was quite new to Australia at the time. And I signed up for a workshop, and about 3 or 4 days before I was due to start it, I had a life-threatening allergy reaction and thought I was going to die. So I rang up the therapist. My own GP was out of town. I was 25 miles from a hospital. I thought I was going to die. And I rang her up in sheer desperation, and I said, I don't know what to do. Help me. And she said, well, I can hear you breathing from here. I think you should close your mouth. And I thought she was insane, because I hadn't been able to breathe through my nose in decades, literally decades. I was in my early 30s at this point.
Yeah.
But I tried. She said, pretend you can. So I was going. Suddenly, my airways opened and I could breathe. It was as miraculous an instant as that. Something so simple as breathing less, and the airways started to open. And I didn't realize that hyperventilation syndrome underlies all asthmatics. Doesn't matter what the trigger is. And I had every single one going.
Wow. Yeah.
It was just so magical. And within, I did the course, and my own GP, who was a family friend, which, you know, can happen when you live in a small country town, he came along to one of the training days because he was worried about me. And he sat through it and he grilled the physiotherapist for a while afterwards. And at the end of it, he just said, it's just re-engineering good breathing. Simple, logical. Wow. And structured so that it's not you should breathe better. They take you through a process that inevitably makes you breathe better. And it's, you know, it's clinically proven, and but it takes time and effort, and people have to take responsibility for their health to use it. Whereas if somebody's just going, no, I just want my doctor to deal with it, I'll just take the medication, then you are at the whim of whatever the current medical situation is. You know, and there's nothing wrong with medication in the right place, but if you don't need it full time, you don't need the side effects, you don't need...
Yeah.
And people don't realise that by the time they reach having symptoms, the body's already under massive stress. So I did that, and that's 20-odd years ago, and it's literally I went from I'm going to die tonight to off my meds in 3 weeks. Incredible.
That is incredible. I think when I used to do a lot of exercise when I was younger, and I still do exercise nowadays, but not as intense as I did before. And it's amazing how, you know, when I used to do a lot of weightlifting and things like that, and when I actually changed my breathing patterns and the way I was doing things, everything became just so much easier. Yeah. You know, it was like the air was flowing through my body in the right way. Not that it wasn't doing that before, but it's incredible how breathing makes a massive difference. So I'd be very much interested in having a good look at this.
Yeah, we can definitely explore that. You know, optimal breathing just makes sense. You've got to breathe. Everybody breathes 20,000 to 30,000 times a day. So it's a great chance to either enhance your well-being or, for most people, diminish it. So, you know, it's so simple to change. Once you know how, you know, why wouldn't you? It just becomes a new habit. And so I did that, and I continued to look into everything. So I did my NLP training. I'm a Reiki teacher. Learned EFT. Whatever was going, I had a go at it. And most things made some difference. Some things were dramatic. The Buteyko, the NLP, and the Reiki were phenomenal.
So these different modalities that you used, or different therapies that you used, they were all to enhance your situation or better your you know, state of asthma, so you were much better in your health as a whole.
It was a journey, and then I just got excited about learning new stuff because I had no idea what was out there. That was just So first of all, it was the asthma, but I got rid of that pretty fast with the Buteyko. But my mental state still wasn't good. I had a lot of historical stuff to deal with. And so that was big part of the journey, finding inner peace. And it doesn't mean I still, you know, stress levels do that, but I have literally the one exercise, if nobody gets anything else out of this evening except this one exercise, if you breathe out and rest the breath just for a few seconds, it gives you this instant calm in your mind. It's astonishing. So just breathe out,
Very calming, isn't it?
And it's right there. It's between every breath. And it's just, it's an inevitability because it's how the body works. You turn off the fight or flight mechanism by breathing out. If you sit in that for a few moments, the body just goes, wow, endorphins, serotonin, connection between both sides of the brain, and quiet mind. It's just, and to have that is just, so I share that with everyone.
Definitely. I remember going to a mindfulness course. It was just recently, actually, with a different mindfulness trainer, and we looked at the different brainwave activities and how just a small bit of mindfulness and changes in our breath can just dramatically, stabilize our blood pressure.
Oh yeah, you know, absolutely. The same things that affect the breathing for asthma do it for the blood pressure, irritable bowel, all those sort of things. Anything that spasms, change the breathing and it releases. So there's huge numbers of things in the body that directly relates to.
And let's move on to more going into your journey as, you know, the director, you could say, or the facilitator of the Healer Zone.
Okay.
You studied all these therapies, you know, and that led you on to wanting to spread the word about more different modalities in terms of how people can, you know, enhance their health and live a healthy life.
Well, that was sort of a middle ground. So when we moved to England in 2000, I didn't want to continue teaching piano, and I've been doing some corporate training, some well-being, stress management stuff for corporate. But when I came over here, I just did more and more training and suddenly went, there's lots of people like me, or like I was, who need help. So, yeah, I just discovered that I liked the lights going on as a therapist as much as I did as a teacher. But I ended up speaking to my colleagues because I wanted to be around like-minded people and just do. And I ended up running a training program called the Resilient Therapist. It's current incarnation is the heart-centered healer. And it was all about self-care, self-nurturing, healthy rapport skills with clients so that you don't get dragged into their stuff, you lift them up to a better.
Yeah.
And it's people are often taught a technique, but they're not taught how to interact with the clients. So I was running this program, and we'd get to the end of the workshop, and time after time I'd say, and now you need to go out and surround yourself with like-minded, positive, uplifting people. Because by definition, our clients are sick, sad, miserable, angry, frightened people. They don't turn up because they're happy. If you're actually in a therapeutic environment. It might be different for coaches or fitness trainers, but for deep therapy work, that's the truth. And they would just say, but I don't know anyone else. I spend my time with my clients or my family, and that's it. And after a while, I kept hearing this, and I thought they feel so isolated. You know, entrepreneurs, self-employed entrepreneurs, often feel isolated as well. It's a standard thing. But when you add that to the therapeutic mix, it's a whole different ballgame.
Just intensifies things,
So Healer Zone developed out of that. So the healerzone.com site initially, and then the Facebook group. And so we run, as I said earlier, the networking, but also training for therapists. The idea to support and to do joint ventures so that, you know, you can come, obviously, as you're going to teach at some of the Healer Zone events. And it's all about, cross-pollinating ideas, sharing wisdom, because we all have specialties, some of which have come from other parts of our lives. But because we filter everything through this well-being, energy, it has more value and reaches the hearts of the therapist more easily. So, business people who do what you do.
So you would say it's a mix between obviously a lot of therapists, and you invite clients in as well.
The clients. Healer Zone's got nothing to do with the clients. It's purely to look after the therapists. Yeah.
Okay.
The idea is that when you support the well-being professionals, they can support others. So we train them to be better therapists. We support them to reach more therapists. We do marketing. We do training. People like yourself coming in with websites. So that we we are in a better place to serve more people more effectively for longer and feel good long term. Because burnout is a huge issue for therapists, whether that's medical staff, whether it's social workers, whether it's, you know, mediums. Empaths particularly struggle with this. It's healers only specifically. We do have open days at exhibitions and things, but the actual meetings are for people in the industry because, as I said, there are privacy issues about sharing stuff. You can't do that with the general
people. I know.
But it's skills training.
If I was to ask you then why you do what you do today, I know you've probably covered it in some of the answers that you shared there. But what would be your big why for the healer zone or even passing on the breathing techniques to others as well?
Okay. I think we all have a place in making the world better. My particular skill is supporting my colleagues and sharing what I've learned. If I can give people the shortcuts to well-being that I so desperately needed when I started, and I can do that for my colleagues, things that I've learned very gradually, bits and pieces all over the place, and suddenly gone, this is what needs to be done. Here it is, 5 steps to better rapport. Here you go. So my job is to compress lots of information and feed it out in pieces that people can absorb and just use so that they are more effective at what they're passionate about. Because everybody has their own particular way of working with clients. They're the ones, different clients are attracted to different people.
Definitely.
Because of their journeys, you know, because of their work. So
attracting the right people to the right audience, you know, well, so to the right therapy.
Very much about that. Helping people to be the best they can be, to attract the right people. And, you know, I teach a little marketing, a bit of social media, but that's just about creating that connection. If I can help people do that, the world's a better place. And it takes my guilt away.
No, I love that as well. I mean, that you could say that's one of the reasons why I run this show is because I love to talk about natural health and well-being. Yep. I'd love to bring together therapists and I love to pass the message on to more and more people because we can make the world a better place when more and more people are aware of what's out there and what's available to people.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, my own work is quite broad. It's very hard just when somebody says, what do you do? Okay. Well, this week I helped somebody overcome asthma. I helped a teenage girl get more confident going into her school thing and manage her homework more easily. I help people to get, you know, successful job interview skills. I help people to enjoy their lives more. But sometimes it's, you know, and sometimes I deal with people with, you know, abuse issues. And if they walk in and they can't meet you eye to eye and they walk out confident, then you've done something transforming and it sticks.
Yeah.
It really sticks. And I have a guarantee, feel better or don't pay me because I'm, you know, I don't know.
I like to think we can each make a difference in people's lives one person at a time, you know. I wanted to move over slightly because we've talked about your journey and now your healer zone. And we spoke before the room went live, you could say, or before the recording was set to go, about the fact that you like to work with big cats as well. Tell us more about that.
I'm a regular volunteer at the Cat Survival Trust. And we have jaguars, mountain lions, servals, lynx, lots of big and small cats. And I am blessed to be able to run talk and tour events there. And I get to cuddle the babies. It's just wonderful. We've got a 4-month-old lynx at the moment. He's just a treasure. For some reason, his name is Pudding. And it is something that it just touches my heart and it makes me feel peaceful whenever I go there. It's a sanctuary, it's not a zoo, so there's only ever a small number of people at a time.
Yeah.
But the work they do is global. We've got a 10,000 acre reserve in Argentina.
Fantastic.
And there's all sorts of projects which are environmental based, not only rescue and breeding of the big cats. And there's a new conference centre. They're doing a new TB program with they've got thousands of hours of recordings that they're trying to work together and put out. Yeah, it's just so exciting to be part of something at the cutting edge, but with a heart, yeah. With a tremendous heart.
Right. Definitely. I'd love to possibly get them on the show as well, talk about their journey and how they're making a difference in the world and what they're doing in much more of a time scale with that, you know. Where can we find out more about the Healer Zone then?
Website? If anybody's interested, just look up healerzone.com. HEALERZONE.com. There's also a very lively Facebook group, but it's for well-being practitioners of absolutely any kind. If you feel you fit, you probably do. And at that point, you know, we're expanding. The website is changing at the moment. We're adding our own Healer Zone TV channel and an Etsy style shop and various other things. So it's a work in progress because everything evolves, doesn't it? You know, as you go.
Yeah, I think we're always a work in progress. I'm always making changes to what I'm doing here and there.
Yeah.
Thinking about different ways I can work with clients and really better the lives of people that I'm working with. So we can always adapt and change, can't we?
Yeah, absolutely essential, yeah. We have it's a free level of membership, and look, professional membership is £20 a year. It's seed money for doing more. And it's about,
definitely.
And if somebody is interested in a local networking group, just get in touch directly, it's fine.
And primarily they're around the London area at the moment, but you're looking to expand them outside of London as well, aren't you?
No, they didn't start in London. Hertfordshire first, we're Letchworth, Tring, well, Aylesbury. We've got two in North London, two in Thurrock, one in Kent, one Maidstone in Kent, one launching next month, yes. I lose track without a calendar in front of me, Torquay. And we've got, as I said, I think too earlier, we've got something like, we've got well over 50 in 9 countries due to launch.
Okay.
It's obviously something that's needed. You know, it's just a hub for connecting people together, and they can make of it what's important to them. But I'm there to support it, and we're gradually building a team of people to make that practical. Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay.
And where can we find out more about yourself as an individual? I know you've got a personal website, haven't you, as well?
It's a work in progress. I think I probably need your help. It's gentiller.com, gentiller.com. So it's it talks about my the workshops and some of the work that I do, but it needs an update. But the content's there, so if you want to get onto me there, and my contact details are all there.
What we'll do as well is if people are watching the replay on Blab, we'll put all the details on the right-hand side if they wanted to watch back. And this is obviously going to go to a podcast as well as on YouTube. So we'll make sure all of the links are there for those of you who want to watch, want to contact Jen, or want to obviously be a part of the Healer Zone. I'm sure you'll find it valuable in every area.
Yeah, so if someone wants training or support, or just they're at a point where they're thinking, I'd like to be a therapist, but I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
I'd be happy to get in touch with them.
I mean, what I love about therapists is usually they go in to discover more about a certain area. It might be Reiki, it might be hypnotherapy or TFT or whatever it might be. And then the world opens up to them, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, this, I find this fascinating. I find Reiki fascinating, or EFT or TFT. Our skill sets, or each one of us, our skill sets just really expand, and we can make so much of a difference in people's lives. And it's all about spreading it, isn't it?
I think that's the joy of the journey, isn't it? and the purpose of the journey, ultimately.
Definitely. If I was to ask you for a takeaway message then, for anybody that's maybe a healer or therapist, or even an individual that wants to make a shift or a change in their life, what would you say would be something that you could pass on to them?
Go into the still space in your mind. Ask the question, what do I need now? And then breathe out and wait for the answer. It will be there. When you still your mind, when you ask, what do I need?
Yeah.
And then take action on that. Because your journey is only ever one step at a time. You don't have to do everything today. Take care of yourself so you can keep giving. Come back to yourself.
Excellent. Well, thank you again for joining me on the show. Thank you for sharing your journey, your story, and for bringing in a really interesting story and a great conversation today. It's been a pleasure.
So. Really appreciate the opportunity, Wendy. So I'm looking forward to seeing various of our Healer Zone groups and some training.
Definitely. Likewise.
Okay.
Yeah. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to keep the recording open, but I'm going to open the room for people who want to ask questions to Jen. I know G is here at the moment and a few more people are here watching. So for those of you who want to ask Jen any questions, mm-hmm. please feel free to post them on the right-hand side in the chat box, or you could even use the left-hand side to ask your specific questions. And yeah, we're ready for you.
Okay.
And there is an open seat on Blab. The great thing about Blab is you can have up to 4 people in a conversation at a time. So if you wanted to jump in, get on a webcam, then it would be a real pleasure for you to jump in. And we've got Dave Moore here as well. And we had a long Blab session yesterday, which was nice. So thanks for coming along, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
We've just been talking to Jen about, speaking with Jen about the Healer Zone and also her work where she's transformed her health from having asthma to, what was the name of the
Buteyko
breathing
technique. Buteyko breathing, Buteyko. The Buteyko breathing method. Yeah, clinically proven. They did a clinical trial, 2-year trial, 600 people, and they got an average of 94% reduction in symptoms and medication use. So it's well founded.
I was going to ask you, but it probably not. So much of a relevant question, because I was going to ask, you know, it helps all areas of asthma, doesn't it? Obviously, because you've had such severe asthma, you're on the very severe side of the spectrum, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. There's, it doesn't matter what the trigger is. That's the thing. The biomechanics of the asthma spasm are the same, but there are lots of possible triggers, and I had most of them. It doesn't make any difference whether it's an allergy, whether it's an emotional thing, whether it's muscle tension, whatever the history is. I had chronic bronchitis as well, and that went. And the sinusitis that went with that went. And the eczema and the migraines, pretty much.
So did you go to this island or this place where
they didn't send me away because I found an answer.
You found the answer, yeah.
They were just threatening me generally with, you have to get away from all modern life, so you have to live somewhere isolated. And I just I lived in a small country town. I was pretty isolated as it was, and that's where the agoraphobia came out of. You know, so.
Yeah.
Quite good to be functional and able to get around and do things and have a life.
It was interesting that you mentioned, I was just looking at my history on YouTube because there was a documentary series that I was, well, a documentary show that I was watching.
Okay.
And it was very similar about a group of people that went to a location. I think it may have been Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And they were treated with shamans.
Yes.
For a whole 10 days. Not 10 days. It was over a period of of either months or years. See if I can find it quickly. The Sacred Science documentary. So that's a fascinating.
Oh, thank you. I'll take a look at that. Yeah. No, this is just breathing exercises, the bottom line. But I've done so many other things at the far end of the esoteric spectrum, you know, as well. And then the only way, things like NLP and business training. So that's it. And of course, amongst all of that, I'm also an artist and a photographer and an author, and I won an Inventors Award once, and it's a busy life. You get time over 50 odd years to do a lot.
Definitely. I think that's the joy of being an entrepreneur. You can learn many different things. It's all about learning and growing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And doing what we can to help others.
And doing what is you're passionate about and what's fun, you know. I've been self-employed for over 30 years now, and I cannot imagine I would make the world's worst employee.
I concur with that as well, actually. I definitely concur with that. So if I was to ask you about this technique, the breathing technique, is there any small things that you can share with us today that we can do?
Okay, well, the breathe out and rest the breath is actually the core of the work. So simply teaching the body to slow down the breath. Here's a favorite one. Literally just getting out of your chair. One of the things that we do how many times a day? Dozens of times a day. If you get out of the chair normally, people tend to just grab air, they breathe in deeply, and they get tense on the way up. So they head for the door, they head for the phone, and then like that. Yeah. Right. If you turn that around, because that's in the fight or flight response, so breathing in and holding is fight or flight, yeah? If you do the opposite, to get out of the chair, if you literally breathe out, and in the space after the out-breath, then you stand up. You do it in relaxation mode. The muscles are fluid. The energy is easy. There's no tension. You still have the same strength. You can use that for just about anything. So I'll demonstrate for the want of the exercise. So it's breathe out. And then breathe in. So you can sort of see it. There's a real softness about the movement. Whereas if I go, it's complete.
Yeah.
And you can use that for lifting something, picking up the kids. When you walk upstairs, people often they'll go upstairs and they'll be out of breath when they get to the top because they're over breathing all the way up. But if you start that in the pause, breathe out, you can even run up the stairs and it's easy. And it's transformational. It really, really is. And it's such a simple thing to do. It's find comfort in the space between the breaths and gradually expand what you can do until that space becomes larger and larger.
Yeah.
And
it's very interesting.
Yeah, it's logical. It's just you're turning off the fight or flight response. You're resetting the body's desire for a breath. So instead of habitually over-breathing, you're resetting it. And the body will always go with the best option you give it. So if you're being tense all the time, it doesn't have an alternative. It'll go, oh, she wants tension. We'll do that.
Yeah.
You give it the space, things change. The mind, you have mindfulness, you have calm. And if you can add abdominal breathing to that, better still. But that's another day. I'm happy to come back and have a chat about that any time for your demonstration. But,
definitely. Well, we are towards the actual end of the show now as well.
Okay.
But I was meaning to ask this question throughout the whole show, but obviously we talked about your journey and we never got to it.
Okay.
But when I was learning TFT, EFT or with the EFT, it's
two. Yeah.
Very soon, aren't they? So, but collarbone breathing.
Yes.
Would you say that's very similar to what you learn? Not at all.
Not even remotely, no. It's quite a different purpose. This is all about turning off the hyperventilation syndrome.
Okay. Collarbone
is actually quite shallow. and I would, although the original Buteyko allowed, you know, shallow breathing, low, slow, and through the nose.
Okay.
I'd be hesitant if you're asthmatic to recommend. The idea is to do something that you can do all the time. Almost any breathing technique, yoga breathing techniques, you can do for a short period of time.
Yeah.
But this is about changing your habitual pattern. So, yeah, sort of stick with the low abdominal breathing.
And obviously, with you actually having to do it every day because it's in our daily life, and then the habit is very easy to stick, you know, in some.
Stick, yeah. The Buteyko program is a series of exercises. You're supposed to practice them 3 times a day for about half an hour. If you really mean to do something with it, that's the ideal.
Yeah.
But you can transform your breathing. You can halve your symptoms in a week. But if you're somebody who's perfectly healthy and that you just want to increase your stamina, I work with athletes. I actually worked with one chap who wanted to climb Everest without oxygen. Just with optimal breathing.
Yeah.
You know? So the difference for them might be perceptibly small, but it's the classic thing, like if you're an Olympic athlete, tiny difference makes the difference between nowhere and gold.
Definitely. It's all in the 1%, isn't it, when you get to that high level, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I remember like watching the Olympics and specifically the cycling team.
Yeah.
You know, they were saying what makes you such a good team, like winning gold.
Yep.
4 years ago, winning 4 years for like so many golds.
Yep.
8 years after, and they all said nothing. I wasn't a superhero. All I was all the team did was focus on that 1% in every single area, and
makes
they got the gold.
Yeah. Okay. Dave's just asked a question. Is there a benefit to so-called pursed lip breathing? Well, there probably is, but if you're coming at it from an asthmatic place, it wouldn't be where I would start. Let's put it that way. The idea is not to mouth breathe at all. That's really what the bottom line is. Because nasal breathing, your nostrils are the right size. Your mouth breathe even like that. It's you're still hyperventilating to some degree. So for the purposes of reducing the breathing in this way, not so much, but every breathing technique, dragon breath in yoga, there's lots of different things that have a place, but not necessarily are a good place to start if you're asthmatic or panicking or whatever. But anything that reduces your breathing, if you're big mouth breathing, then pursed lip breathing is an improvement. So, you know, it's all about, you know, relatively speaking.
Definitely.
I hope that's useful.
Well, thank you again for joining me on the show. If you can mention your website again, just for the end of the show, then that'd be fantastic.
Thank you. Yes, the website for wellbeing practitioners is HealerZone, HealerZone, or my own website jentiller.com. You're very welcome to connect with me directly. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, I'm all over the place. So get in touch and I'm happy to help. That's what I'm here for. All right. Thank you so much, Andy. Really appreciate this evening.
It's a real pleasure. Thank you again all for joining in. We will end recording here, but we will continue the conversation. We will be live again next week at 8 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. So we do look forward to seeing you again next week. And with that, I'll say bye for now.
Right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay. The Entrepreneur's Journey. Create your empowering business story. Interviewing successful entrepreneurs from around the world to share their inspiring journey to success. Tune in live every week for your weekly dose of inspiration. Visit www.theentrepreneursjourney.tv for previous episodes.